Our good preacher friend who's in heaven now, Dr. John McCormick, was approached one day by a young lady, and she said, "Dr. McCormick, can God heal a broken heart?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am, but you have to give him all the pieces." Brokenness. I want to read past the scripture. We'll share some announcements at the close of the service this morning just before we leave. But in your Bible, please turn to the book of Psalms 31. Thank you for the great singing already. Psalms number 31. And then I'm going to have you to turn over to a New Testament passage and have that, where we can look at that as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So Psalms 31 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And Brother Joe Berry, I'm going to read right here. I'm going to get down. They'll do a presentation for us, and I'll come back and turn my lapel on. In Psalms 31, I want you to look at verse number 9. "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." You ever been in trouble? Boy, I'll tell you, I've been in some trouble. "Have mercy upon me." And you know why he wanted mercy? Because he probably created his own trouble. How many of you can say amen right there? I need some mercy because I've created some of my own problems. He said this, "Have mercy upon me, O God, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly." Many people have gone through times of great sorrow and great loss and great tragedy, and they go through times of great grief. Look at verse number 10. "For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me." Now listen to this. "I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel." There are people in the sound of my voice in this building and in the radio audience, the internet audience, who feel that you're broken. There's no repair. It's a little humorous, but I was thinking this morning about the old nursery rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But I know somebody who can. There's a brokenness in lives today across this country. I mean, some have been broken with sorrow, with tragedy. Some have been broken with bad decisions, bad divorces. Some have been broken by betrayal. Their lives are one of like this. They feel just broken. Many have failed the Lord personally, as Ms. Jane sang about a while ago. But he has mercy on us, and he loves us, and he forgives us. Many of us carry burdens like Brother Dan sang about, and brokenness, but yet we don't ever turn it loose. We don't let God ever heal us with that. Brokenness. And my dear friend, so many are like that. So many because, as David said here, because of their own sin. They feel like they've done too many things. Maybe it was some bad decisions. Maybe it was an abortion. Maybe it was drugs and alcohol. But you feel broken. You feel like there's no hope. You've got to that place where there's nowhere to go. You feel broken as a broken vessel. I want to read one other passage I mentioned to you just now in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And listen to what it says as we begin reading in verse number 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." What a list of broken people. All types of sexual sin and failure. There were those who were thieves. There were those who were covetous, those who were drunkards, those who were partiers or dopers, revilers is what that means. There were those who were involved in illegal things and lying and cheating and stealing, extortioners. Boy, that's a bad crowd. They're broken, many because of sin and failure. They're broken people. But now watch the next statement. in verse number 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye were sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Thank God, that's what broken people can expect if they come to Jesus. And that is that they get their sins forgiven, they get justified, they get washed, they get sanctified, and they become a child of the King if they but come to Him. David said, have mercy on me. I'm like a broken vessel. And then in the book of 1 Corinthians, we saw that long list of those people who came to the Lord, and they said, you were washed. My dear friend, brokenness is something that anybody can experience for any reason. I mean, you just get to the place where you feel like there's no hope and that you're so broken down in despondency and hopelessness and grief. But my dear friend, there's hope. There's somebody who can help you. I thank the Lord for that. David sought the right person. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. That brokenness can come, as I said a while ago, through personal failure or sin, bad choices, abuse. It could be because of things you've done in the past, because of alcohol. It could be because of unexpected death in your family or some other tragedy come in your life and you're just left crippled with grief and broken. But my dear friend, God can give you grace. The Bible is full of people who experienced those same type of things. And at one point in time, they were broken. But God turned their brokenness into a blessing. I'm thinking now as I remember about Jacob, who had lied and deceived and was exiled from his family. And yet God brought him back and he wrestled with God. And he said, God, I'll not let you go except you bless me. And God touched the hollow of his thigh and his leg was out of joint. And for the rest of his life, he had to limp with that sign of brokenness. But he, my dear friend, experienced the blessing of God. And he changed his name from Jacob to Israel to a prince of God. My dear friend, God can take your brokenness and turn it into a blessing. He can work it that way. I'm thinking about people who've made bad decisions. There's a woman at the well, Yana, that the Lord meets. And she's been married 5 times and she's living with somebody now. It's not her husband. I'm sure that society had thrown her away. And she was like David said, that she was a reproach to people. They didn't want to have anything to do with her. And they had turned their back on her. She was like a dead person as far as they were concerned. But Jesus had compassion on her. And my dear friend, he forgave all of her sin. And she ran into town and said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. And her testimony was this. He knows all about my sin. He knows all about my failure. But he loved me anyway and he changed me. My dear friend, he knows all about your sin. He knows all everything you've ever done. But he says he'll save you if you'll come to him. I'm thinking now about that young man who was full of demons and he was exiled from his family. They couldn't constrain him. They put chains on him. He'd break the chains. He was exiled to the island of the Gadareans, and there he was. And the Bible said he spent his life living in the tombs and screaming and outrage and cutting himself all day long. And yet Jesus came to where he was at and Jesus touched him and Jesus delivered him. And the Bible said, and when they came back to where he was, where he and Jesus were at, he was clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. My dear friend, you're never too broken, never too far gone for him to reclaim your life and to change your life and to make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. There's the Apostle Peter that we saw in through the eyes of Peter. And you know what? After he got saved, he still cussed. He cursed and said, I know not the man. You remember in the scene where he still had anger and he pulled out his sword and cut off the soldier's ear? That's even after he knew the Lord. My dear friend, can you imagine what he's like before he got saved? We never talk about Peter before he ever got saved, before the Lord ever called him. I can imagine he was an old, hard, crusted, cussing fisherman. I just can imagine him. Had nothing to do with religion, had nothing to do with God. But when the Lord Jesus Christ changed him, he changed and made a brand new creature out of him. People would say, oh, Peter, he's no hope for him. He's just an old drunken sailor. But yet when Jesus met him, he changed his life. And on the day of Pentecost, he stood and he preached and 3,000 souls got saved. The writer of 13 books of this New Testament, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, before he got saved, was a persecutor of the church. I mean, he had an awful testimony. As a matter of fact, he lived his life with this testimony, I am chiefest of sinners. And I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But I am what I am by the grace of God. You're never too broken for God to do something in your life. Never too broken for God to heal you. Never too broken for God to deliver you. Never too broken for God to do a special work in your heart. Broken things throughout the Bible. Think about it. Brokenness. You say, what could God ever do with this brokenness? In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, Jeremiah said, the fallow ground has to be broken before there could ever be fruitfulness. As you look a little further, Gideon, in that great battle of Gideon, where God had given him just a handful of people. And as he came to the great battle, they had pitchers, and inside of that, they had a lamp. And that pitcher had to be broken before the light could shine out. In the New Testament, as we saw through the eyes of Peter as well, there was one who was sick on a bed of affliction, never walked. The roof had to be broken before there could ever be healing. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ as he fed 5,000. The bread and fish had to be broken before he could feed 5,000. Lazarus' tomb seal had to be broken before he who was dead could come out alive. And the body of the Lord Jesus Christ had to be broken before you and I could be saved. The alabaster box had to be broken before that worship could rise out of that box and be demonstrated. In the book of Luke chapter 4, our Lord defines his ministry and his mission as he came into the world. He said in Luke chapter 4, quoting from Isaiah chapter 51, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That word poor doesn't mean poverty stricken. It has to do more with people who are bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt, emotionally bankrupt. They've come to the end of their way. There's nothing left in the tank. They are broken, and there's no fixing them as far as they're concerned. But he said, I've come to give you good news. There's hope for the hopeless, and it's in me, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There's some whose grief has so consumed them, they think there's no hope. They can't get over it. They can't get through it. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's a God of grace, and he'll carry you through it. And God will help you with that. He'll help to mend it and to use it for his glory. He said, I've come to preach deliverance unto the captives, those who were bound so and could not set themselves free. He said, I've come to do that. And the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, those who've been through trials in their life. When they feel like they're bruised and battered and they can't take anymore, they've gone as far as they can go. It's just been one thing after another, one heartache after another, one betrayal after another, one bad marriage after another, one bad decision after another. And he said, those who've been bruised, he said, I've come to heal you. I don't care what's your problem. He's come to take care of it. Jesus came to do that. May I say this, make this statement to you. He does not refuse the broken. He chooses to use the broken. Thank God for that. I'm glad that, my dear friend, he's here to help us today. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You've got so much weight on you, you can't carry it. So many burdens, you can't carry it. So many personal failures, you don't think you can face another day. So much grief, you think the night will never end and the tears will never go. I want you to know there's always room. You're never too broken to belong. He's here to help you and minister to you. And my dear friend, he'll do that. You say, Brother Billy, how can that be? You don't know all I've done. You don't know all my past. You don't know how broken I am because of sin. But I do know what the Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. It says this, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You're never too broken to belong. Oh, you say, well, Brother Billy, I've done so many sins. But where sin did abound, I'm talking about more sin and more sin, grace did much more abound. My dear friend, listen, he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. He said, listen, wherever your sin is and whatever your sin is, you say, well, I've sinned too much. No, where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. My dear friend, it's available to every person, the sound of my voice. Here in the building, in the internet radio audience, you say, Brother Bill, I've gone too far. I wish you could hear some of the trucker phone calls. I'm talking about grown men in the middle of the night who've lived their lives in sin, and they call me weeping, and they say, Brother Billy, I want to just thank you for living and dying with no regrets. Thank you for my sins are too heavy for me. Thank you for this or for that. They say, tonight, God lifted every burden. God lifted every care. God forgave me of every sin. And my dear friend, I want you to know that He's able to do that where sin did abound. You're never too broken. You're never too broken. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, I've done this and I've done that. I don't need to know anything you've done because He knows everything you've done. He knows every sin, everything you ever did in your life here in time. He saw it in eternity past. And on Calvary's cross, He died for every one of your sins where you can't forgive yourself. He's already done it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll give you grace to even forgive yourself as you look to Him. You're never too broken to belong because of God's abounding grace. You're never too broken to belong because of the all-cleansing blood of our Savior. In the book of John, in the book, first John, in the very first chapter, John gives this truth about our Lord and about His blood. In verse number 7, he says this, "But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." My dear friend, every sin, every problem, every burden, every care can be met in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, I read these wonderful truths. He talks in chapter number 1 in verse number 5, and here's what he said, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." You say, Brother Billy, I'm so broken, I couldn't live the Christian life. I'm so broken, I could never have joy again. But watch what he said, what John said. Jesus, number 1, loved us. David cried out, "Oh God, have mercy on me." He said, "My enemies hate me. My neighbors hate me." He said, I'm a reproach to everybody. Nobody wants to be around me. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. I've messed up my life so bad. I've been through so many heartaches. I'm in such a shape. I'm so broken. Nobody would love me. But the Bible said Jesus loved us. And he said he loved us enough and he washed us. Thank God. Listen, I'm glad you don't have to do the washing. I'm glad you don't have to do the cleansing. I'm glad I don't have to do the washing. I don't have to do the cleansing. And he did it because he loved us. You don't have to talk him into it. He wants to do it. He loved you. And my dear friend, nobody is too broken to belong because of his abounding grace. For sin did abound. Grace did much more abound. We don't deserve that. No, I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Nobody deserves it. But my dear friend, it's available to everybody, whosoever will may come. And then because of the all-cleansing blood of our Savior, He loved us and He washed us in His own blood, the Bible said, and it took away all of our sins in His own blood. Thank God He's the one who does that. But then there's a third thing this morning. You're not too broken to belong because you or the one He chose to be a blessing. Oh, you say, what do you mean, Brother Billy? You are the one who acknowledges the mercy and grace and glory of God. He chose you to demonstrate how powerful He is. He chose the broken to show how gracious He is, how forgiving He is, how powerful He is to make you brand new. Look over in the book of 1 Corinthians once again with me. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 1, notice what Paul writes here to the church at Corinth about our wonderful Lord and about what He has done for us by grace. In chapter 1, I want to begin reading with verse number 26. Listen to the Word of God in regard to all of us. He said, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." You see what he said? He said, you are God's choice. Those who feel so broken, those who've made so many mistakes, those who've sinned so much, those who've gone through so much, those who've experienced so much suffering, he said, God has chosen you that for this reason, that no flesh should glory in his sight. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? God picks out those and he targets those who are the most broken, because in doing so, he can demonstrate his grace and his mercy and his healing and his touch in a far greater way. I've seen people go through great times of sorrow and suffering, the tragic loss of children, the tragic loss of a mate, of a loved one. And I've watched them going through such deep sorrow. And yet God, in his marvelous grace, chose to use them to be a bright light and a testimony to so many other people. God chose you. Do you understand that you're it? This is maybe not a good illustration, but I'm thinking about this. If a person's going hunting a trophy, I mean, in a literal sense, going hunting a trophy, he doesn't want to go. If he's going bear hunting, he doesn't want to get a little bitty old cub bear. He wants to get the baddest bear he could get. I mean, he wants to get the gigantic bear, because it acknowledges him and his prowess as a hunter and his skill as a hunter, that he's able to get that baddest bear in the whole woods. And my dear friend, you know what God said? God said, I get more glory for those who are the most broken, those who are the deepest in sin, those who are the deepest in sorrow. If I can lift them out of that and I can give joy to them in their night, then I can use them and I get more glory out of that. Paul, my dear friend, gives us this in 2 Corinthians. If you turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians while you're there in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, here's this wonderful passage of scripture where Paul is beseeching the Lord for some things in his life. And he's prayed three different times. The Lord makes this statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Lord said, Paul, the reason you're going through this tough time is because my light shines better through you like that. I get more glory by helping you and touching you in your darkness and in all that trouble you're going through. I'll get more glory, and I'll use you in a greater way than anything could ever be imagined. I read this passage of scripture, and I looked at something I'd never seen, never paid much attention to. God says this, my grace is sufficient for thee, and this amazing statement, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He's saying this about his strength. I got to thinking about it. My strength is made more perfect. And that word perfect means matured or fulfilled. And yet I know that his strength cannot grow. I know he's God. He's omniscient, knows everything. So God's never learned anything. God's not learning anything like you and I are learning anything. God is omnipotent, so he can never be more powerful, so his strength could not grow or be made more perfect. What does that mean then? If his strength is made perfect in weakness, here's what he's saying. He said, my strength is demonstrated to be greater by working in weakness, by picking up that nobody else cares and making a beautiful vessel out of it. For taking that that's broken beyond repair, there's no human being, nothing in this world that can ever cause them to have joy and peace again. By lifting that broken heart and mending it and filling it with my joy and my witness. Oh, listen, he said, my strength's made more visible that way. You see, the darker the night, the brighter the light. And notice one of the passages of scripture. God, you're never too broken to belong because of God's intended purpose in your life. We all got problems. We've all got brokenness. We've all gone through things. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul explains it to us like this in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, the devil doesn't want you to believe that God can do something for you. He wants you to believe that you're so broken you could never belong. He wants you to believe that you're so down you could never get back up. That you're so defeated you could never be encouraged. You're so weak you could never be strong. You're so despondent you could never have joy. But the devil is a liar. And he said the light of the glorious gospel of Christ can shine in us. He said this, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts and given the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. And Brother Barry said, you ought to look at that, bud. Paul's reminding us of something. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ is in an earthen vessel. Not in something made out of platinum or gold, but God chose to put his light in earthen vessels. Why? Because it makes the light shine brighter. The more down somebody is when the light shines through them, the brighter it is. The more broken they've been, the greater that light can be demonstrated in their life and God's grace. And you look at them and say, if God can save them, he can save anybody. If God can heal them, he can heal anybody. If God can bring them out of that, he can do that for anybody. And Paul said the same thing. He talks about the God of all comfort, who's able to comfort us with everything. And he said, we've gone through all these things that we might now comfort those who need comfort with the comfort wherewith we are comforted. That light that's in them shines out. And he said, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. I was at the state fair this year, and you know my love for pottery. I preach on the potter and the clay. And I bought this pot, and it's a beautiful pot. I appreciate the artwork that's in it, but it's the message of this pot that I'm interested in this morning. And if we could turn the house lights down, and we're going to do the spotlight so you could see it glisten. As I preach on the potter and the clay, I talk about the finished vessel and how it radiates the light of the glory of the Lord. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is working on us. That little song said, don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. Because you see, we'd all like to look like this right now. But the truth of the matter is, most of us look like this. We've got cuts and holes and places all in us because of our bad choices, because of sin, because of personal failure, because of betrayal, because of great sadness that's come in our life. We're all just full of holes, it seems like now. So much brokenness. But I want to tell you something. You're never too broken to belong. Because of God's abounding grace, His grace is greater than all your sin. Because of His all-cleansing blood, it cleanses you from all of your sin, all your failure. But because of God's choice to put His light in vessels. Because you see, this vase, this pottery here that I have this morning, it's a beautiful pot, and it's here for you to look at it if you want to at the close of the service. But the truth of the matter is, he put the light inside an earthen vessel for a reason. Because he knew we all had cracks, we all had brokenness, we all had sorrows. And Brother Tim, if you'll cut the light down now. For this very reason, because the light that's in us, by the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, he put it in an earthen vessel so his light would shine through all of our brokenness to reflect his glory to a lost and dying world and to say to everybody we meet, if God saved me, he'll save you. If God helped me through my sorrow, he'll help you through your sorrow. If God helped me through my brokenness, he'll help you through your brokenness. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ is in an earthen vessel so it can shine more brighter to demonstrate His grace and mercy to a lost and dying world. Would you bow your heads in prayer, please? We have our heads bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Brad's going to sing whatever God lays on his heart. Can I ask you a question this morning of our friends in the internet audience, the radio audience, and here in the building? Do you have brokenness? There's some in the sound of my voice who think there's absolutely no hope for you because of the brokenness of sin in your life. You think you've gone too far. You've committed too many great sins. But I'll tell you, where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. That long list there in 1 Corinthians, there were some who were abusers of themselves with mankind. There were effeminate there. There were adulterers there, fornicators, extortioners, liars, thieves, every type of person you could ever imagine. But you're washed, he said. You're sanctified, you're justified. My dear friend, you're never too broken for him to enter your life. Don't let the devil tell you that. He wants to blind you to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, that he wants to shine in your darkness and make you and save you and forgive you. He wants to lift every burden, every care. He wants to help you through every heartache and every sadness so that in your brokenness, his light can shine out through your life for the glory of God. I wonder this morning here in the auditorium, is there a man or woman or boy or girl who'd say to me, Brother Billy, I'm feel as if I'm broken. My heart's been broken. My life's been broken. I've failed the Lord. I failed my mom, my dad. I failed my family. I feel like a broken vessel. Maybe some have gone through great heartaches and great sorrows, and you're just overcome with that. I want you to know, he said, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. I'm sure glad he didn't say we didn't sorrow. Because we do. We love our loved ones. We do have sorrow. My dear friend, in your great sorrow, he wants to use that for his glory and for your good. And he will. He already has. I've watched so many of you. I don't know what in the world I'd do if I had to go through what you've gone through and loved ones, children. But God used you. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I have seen that light shine through your earthen vessel as a testimony. And for those of you who don't know the Lord and you're going through great sorrow, my wife said before our first daughter died with leukemia, I don't think I could ever give up a child. I don't know what I could do. But you know what? God chose in his divine providence to take our oldest child with leukemia. But yet God gave special grace. And his light, I believe, has shone through our earthen vessel. I don't know what your need is today, but I just want you to know you're not too broken to belong. He came for heartaches and sorrow and brokenness. He came to deliver the captives and to set at liberty those who are bruised, to heal those who are bruised. He came for that reason. You're never too broken. He wants you. He wants to use you for his glory. I wonder if there's a person in this building say, Brother Billy, I fit in one of those categories. I wish you'd pray for me this morning that his light might shine out of me and I could be a witness to some others. Would you raise your hand across the congregation? God bless you, so many of us this morning. Can I remind you, my dear friend, there are no other kind of vessels. They're all earthen. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. None of us are perfect, but God chose to shine the light of his glorious gospel out of you through those brokennesses, through those hurts, through those pains, through those failures. As he demonstrates his grace and mercy in your life, he'll make you a light. I don't know what you need to do, but I know this. There's somebody who can help you. His name's Jesus. I want you to stand. I'm going to have a word of prayer. If you feel like you need to come get around this old altar and do business with God, you do it. If you're not saved this morning, you want us to help you pray with you, I'll do that. But you go directly to him. Talk to him this morning. If you want to slip out, come. We invite you to come right now. Brad's going to sing a song. Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will make real to every person in this building that they are never too broken to belong because of your abounding grace, because of your all-cleansing blood, and because, God, you have chosen us in our brokenness that the light might shine through us for your glory.